Okay, we're beginning here with the two dots on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Mishnah brings Ve'avdei HaKohanim Ayu, that the people that were working with the Levi'im in terms of the Klei Shir were Avadim, Avdei Kananim. That was Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yossi's opinion was that they were Miuchasei Yisrael. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus said that they were Levi'im. So these musicians, Gemara wants to know, Lema B'Hakam Iflegei, what's the machloket over here as to whether these are Avdei Kohanim, Levi'im, or Yisrael Miuchasim? Demanda Amar Avadim Ayu, Rabbi Meir says that they were Aved Kanani, Ikar Shira B'Peh. He thinks that the primary type of Shira that is accompanying the Korban is that which is done by the vocals. Uklei, the Psume Kalahu David, and the musical instruments are simply there to enhance the vocals. Manda Amar Levi'im Ayu, the one who says that they were Levi'im, Kasavar Ikar Shira B'Kli. He feels that the primary shira is with the musical instruments, and therefore the musicians have to be Levi'im because that was part of the avoda of the shira in the Mikdash. Mar says, "B'tizbira, how can you explain it that way? Rabbi Yossi, my kasavar. Now you've left Rabbi Yossi out in the cold, because Rabbi Yossi, who says that they were Yisrael miyuchasim, he can't fit into either one of these categories. Ikasavar, ikashira b'peh. If he believes, like Rabbi Meir, that the primary shira is done by the vocals, avadim sagyo, then you could use Eved Kanani. Why bother to have Yisrael miyuchasim? Ikasavar ikar shira b'kli. If he believes that the primary type of shira that accompanies the korban is that of a musical instrument, then levi'im v'inan. Then you should acquire levi'im because that's part of the avodah of the levi'im. And why can you use Yisrael miyuchasim? So lolam kasavar ikar shira b'peh. So everybody holds that the Ikar Shira is with the Peh. V'hacha b'ma'alim midukhan liyuchasim u'lemasrot kamiflegei. And here they're arguing about what happens to someone who is found in that position of being a musician in the Mikdash. What status does that grant them? Or how do we view such an individual? What's interesting over here is that the Gemara says, Olam kasavar Ikar Shira b'peh. She makes it sound like all the opinions here believe that Ikar Shira B'Peh. The problem with that is that, according to the one who says Ikar Shira B'Peh, that means that the musical instruments that were used in the Mikdash were not Doche Shabbat and not Doche Yom Tov. But our Mishnah says that the Chalilim played in 12 days during the year. According to Rashi, means that only on those 12 days, as we saw before, the Rambam, the Rabbeinu Gershom, suggests that means that they played all year long, but they were the primary instrument. Either they played longer, or like the Tiferet Yisrael said, they were in front of the Mizbeach, but some of the days that are mentioned there are Yamim Tovim. So that implies that there is Ikar Shira B'Kli in order to have it be Docha Shabbat and Yom Tov. The first Tosfot on the Amud deals with that discrepancy and says that clearly that part of the Mishnah is authored by the Tana of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Ikar Shira B'Kli, we're only speaking about the latter part of the Mishnah, which are these three opinions about Ikar Shira B'Peh. But not that this is a total statement about our Mishnah, it's just about this machloket at the end of the Mishnah. Then the Gemara suggests that the machloket between them is, what does the individual who is playing an instrument on the Dukhan, or as part of the Shira and the Mikdash, what type of status does that grant him? Manda Mar Avadim Hayu, Rabbi Meir says that they were Avadim Kananim, Kasavar Ein Malim Dukhan Lo Yuchusim Lo Demasrot. Someone who is on the Dukhan doesn't get any status. They're not considered to be yuchas, to marry into the families of the Kohanim, the families of the Levi'im, or the Yisrael yuchasim. You have to check them out, and if they are avadim, obviously you won't marry into those families, because it would be inappropriate, or an Isur midoraita, to marry into an Eved Kanani. So therefore there's no automatic assumption, just because you're on the Dukhan, that you are cleared for yichus. In addition, you're also not entitled to masrot, which means that you're not automatically assumed to be a Levi, by which then you could then have entitlement to Maaser Rishon. Manda Amar Levi'im Ayu, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, that they were Levi'im, Kasavar Malim Dukhan ben Yuchasim ben Masrot. He believes that the Dukhan grants you status for both of these items. Status for Yichus, the assumption is that someone who's there is someone who is Miuchas, and number two is that someone who's there is definitely a Levi, and therefore they can partake of Maaser Rishon and be individuals that receive Maaser Rishon. So therefore you need it to be Levi'im in order for that to be true. Yichus doesn't have to be Levi'im, but Masrot is only true when it comes to Levi'im. Madamar Israel Mayu, the one who says that they were Israelim, Kasavar, he believes Malim Idukhan Liukasim Velo the Masrot. You can assume that somebody who is working on the Dukhan, who is playing a musical instrument, they are someone who's Miuchas, but you can't assume that they're a Levi. And therefore, the person who's playing the instrument is not going to be entitled to Maisa Rishon. On the other hand, he will be considered Miuchas. And you can marry into such a family without checking out the family, because the assumption is that a family that is in that position was already checked out, or is clearly a family that is Miuchas. And that's why that individual is playing an instrument in the Mikdash. Now, over here, you have a Machloket, which seemingly is driven by the assumptions about what was the status of those individuals that were found in the Mikdash. So our Gemara makes it sound like that the driving force over here is whether you are Malem Idukhan Yuchasim Lamasrot, and that determines who can be the individual that is there in the Mikdash. The Gemara in Sukkah, which is a parallel sugi over there, makes it sound it's like it's just the opposite. And that seems to be what's happening in our Mishnah as well, which is that they're dealing with the facts that they have, and based on those facts, they're then trying to back into what the situation is. Meaning that over here, it makes it sound like they have a fundamental machloket as to what is the status of individuals who are on the Dukhan. And based on that, you could determine who is allowed to be the individual who will be on the Dukhan. From the Gemara and Sukkah that has the parallel sugya, and again, from our Mishnah, it sounds much more like they already have those facts. They know either that Avadim Shel Kohanim were the musicians, or Leviim were the musicians, or Miuchasei Yisrael were the musicians. And then from that, we can surmise what is the din with regards to the Dukhan. Depending on which piece of information you start with, then we'll determine which way you're moving. If you assume that they had the information about what happened in the Mikdash, which is who were the musicians, then from that fact, I can back into what the din was with regards to the Dukhan and be Maleh the Yuchasin Ulamasir Rishon. On the other hand, if it's the other way around, you believe it's a fundamental machloket, then we don't know what happened in the Mikdash, but we have a machloket about what the status of individuals are when they are found on the Dukhan. Based on what your position is there, that will determine who is the individual who is ra'ui to be a musician in the Mikdash. So again, it's not clear whether the horse came before the cart or the cart before the horse here, because over here the Gemara makes it sound like it's a fundamental machloket. Again, from the Gemara in Sukkah and from the Mishnah, it makes it sound like it was a machloket about the facts on the ground in the Mikdash. And from that, they're trying to conclude what is the view with regards to status from the Dukhan. All right, now, Tan Rabbanan. Hashir ma'akev et korban divrei Rabbi Meir. The shir that accompanies the korban is me'akev the korban. That's Rabbi Meir's view. V'chamim orim enu me'akev. The chamim say that it's not me'akev the korban. Rabbi Meir's statement is extremely difficult, as the Balei Tosafot already point out, that the shir is associated with the nisoch hayayin, that we're going to see later on today's daf, that the nisoch hayayin is the simcha that creates or requires the shirah to be associated with it. The problem is that nisoch hayayin that is associated with the korban is not me'akev the korban. The nisoch itself, even if you don't bring it with the korban, you can bring it days later. And even if you don't bring it at all, it's not me'akev the korban. So how could you suggest something that's ancillary to the nisoch hayayin then would be me'akev the korban? And that is the question that Tosafot raises over here. How could it be that something that is not me'akev the korban has something associated with it that is me'akev the korban? The nearer the faresh, Tosafot makes the suggestion over here, that shir me'akev et korban hainu nisuch, that the shira impacts on nisuch hayayim. Shim ein shira ein nisuch. The Tosafot says that the word korban over here does not mean literally the korban itself. Rather, it means the nisuch hayayim that is coming with the korban. And that's what it means over here, that Rabbi Meir says that the shira is me'akev the korban. It's not me'akev the korban. The korban is not associated with the shira. What is me'akev is the item that it's associated with, and that is the nisuch hayayim. You can only have the nisuch hayayin if you have shira that accompanies that nisuch hayayin. That's the way that the Balei HaTosafot deal with it. If you look in the Shita Mekubetzet Od Vav, he brings from the Rosh two other possible answers to this problem. He says, V'yesh lomar, dahadak amar, shir me'akev, Hainu kishitvo hanisachim im korban. That's only when the nisachim come with the korban. Avakoshalohi v'im im korban lo sheich ikuv v'shir. Then the shir doesn't affect it. So the one answer that the Rosh gives is depends when you do the nisach hayayin. If you do the nisach hayayin along with the korban, then the lack of shirah would be ma'akev the korban. On the other hand, if you don't bring the nisach hayayin with the korban, then the shirah can't be ma'akev the korban, just like the nisach hayayin is not ma'akev the korban. So it really depends on when you bring the nisach hayayin as to whether it will have the capacity to be ma'akev the korban. That's the first answer the Rosh gives. And then the Rosh brings, inami hadakamer makvin, hanush tzarich lasot kei min haTorah, aval kapara lo ma'akve. The Rosh brings what seemingly might be the way to understand this, and he proves it from other situations where Chazal say that it is me'akev, and it's clearly not me'akev the korban. What it means is that what is the proper way to do this min haTorah? The proper way to do this min haTorah is to have the shirah associated with the korban. The failure to have that shirah with the korban, because it's associated with nisach hayayin, and the nisach hayayin itself is not me'akev the korban, does not ruin the kapara that is attained, or the purpose of the korban that was brought. The korban itself is kasher as long as it is brought. Now, to do it right, to do it properly, to do it the way the Torah is mitzaveh, then you have to do the nisach hayayin with the shir, and that's what it means, it's ma'akev. It's ma'akev, the proper execution of the korban, not that it's ma'akev, the kapara that's associated with the korban. That's the way that the Shita Mikubetzet brings that the Rosh has these two possible answers to the question that's raised by the Balei HaTosafot over here. So we saw three different ways that the Ikuv could be impactful, even though Nisach HaYayin itself is not Me'akev the Korban. So now they have a machloket here between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim with regards to whether the Shirah is Me'akev. Gemara says, my time with the Rabbi Meir. Where does Rabbi Meir get this fact that it's Me'akev? Damakra. Over here you have a statement about the Netina to Aaron uvanav mitoch bnei Yisrael. That's the Levim are given to work and to service the Kohanim as well as the Mishkan. And they're also there to be mechaper al bnei Yisrael. And so there is obviously some hekish over here between the kapara and the netina. Ma kapara me'akevet. Just like kapara is me'akev in situations, afshira me'akevet. The netina etnat levim, or the netina talevim, which are the mishorerim, that they are the ones that sing in the mikdash, their job is me'akev the korban, just like kapara is me'akev the korban, or me'akev the situation being rectified. Rabbanan, what do they do with that hekesh? Ha'ul idach the Rabbi Lazar. They need it for the other drusha of Rabbi Lazar. Dama Rabbi Lazar, ma'kapara b'yom, af shira b'yom. Just like kapara is attained only during the day, so too there's only shira during the day. So what you see from the Gemara over here is that everybody agrees there is a hekesh between kapara and shira. The only question is, what is the meaning of that hekesh? According to Rabbi Meir, it means that it's me'akev. Whereas according to the Chachamim, it's just giving you the definition of when it can be performed. Just like kapara is performed during the day, so too shira is performed during the day. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, minayin ikar shira min haTorah. Again, this is a strange question, but how do you know that there is shira min haTorah? Seems to be that the question is precipitated by the fact the Torah never mentions that the Levi'im sing in the Mikdash, or there's never any mention of the fact that there's Shira associated with the Korbanot. And so the question of the Gemara over here is, how do we know that there is Shira by the Levi'im that's associated with the Korban? So that's the nature of the question. The truth is that in Divrei HaYamim, we find many mentions of the fact that the Levi'im were divided up into Mishorerim and Mishorerim, into those that sang, those that dealt with the guarding or closing and opening of the gates. We also find the fact that Levi'im have instruments that they played and that were part of their job as Levi'im was to perform or to have those instruments in the context of the Mikdash. So we know that from Divrei Yamim at least, that the Levi'im had a job. Now it could be that you would have thought from Divrei Yamim and from the Psukim and the Nevi'im that that was only with regards to musical instruments or musical accompaniment. It doesn't necessarily give you the detail or the obligation to have shira, bepeh, to have a vocal shira associated with the Vim, and maybe that's what the Gemara is searching for. Or even if you say that the shira that's mentioned there, it's not just musical accompaniment, but also vocal, it could be that the Gemara is looking for a source in the Torah, because those are only sources from the stories that are told in the Vim, but we'd like to see a source from the Torah. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, minayin ikar shira min haTorah, shenemar, b'sheret b'shem Hashem Elokav, that they will serve in the name of Hashem, their God. Ezu shirut shebishem. Where is their service that includes the name of God? V'yomer ze shira. That is song. And Rashi over here explains, shemaskirim bo shem shamayim. The shira includes the mention of God's name. So here we have the fact that they're doing shirut, service, with the name of Hashem. Shem shamayim is included in the shira. And that shem shamayim that's included in the shira is a part of the Sherut of the Levi'im in the Mikdash. Where it says, Ema Nesiut Kopayim. We also have a Volda that involves the Shem Hashem, which is the Kohanim. When they Duchen in the Mikdash, they also mention the Shem Hashem. Midichtiv, but we have another Pasuk that says, Lisharto Ulevarech Bishmo, that they do service of God, and they give the Bracha in His name. Michlau, the Birkat Kohanim, Lav Sheruti. The fact that it separates between L'sharto u'l'varech bishmo, l'varech bishmo is the Birkat Kohanim, the Sherut then is obviously something besides Birkat Kohanim, and that's why we're saying that the Sherut is something that's done b'shem Hashem, and that is Shira. Rav Matna Amar Mihacha. Rav Matna says it's from this Pasuk, one of the scariest Pasukim in the Torah, the Pasuk that's found in the Tochacha and Pashat Kitavo. It says that all of this bad will befall you, tachat asher lo avadta d'Hashem Elokecha b'simcha u'b'tuv levav. Because, or in retribution for the fact that you do not worship God, b'simcha, out of happiness, u'b'tuv levav, and good-heartedness, or good feeling. Ezi u'avodah shebesimcha u'b'tuv levav. Which avodah are we speaking about that involves simcha, joy, tuv levav, good-heartedness, or joyousness that's associated with it? Havyomer, zeshira. That song, and that's what Rashi says over here, Ein Adam Shar Shira, El Mitoch Simcha V'Tov Levav. It is a natural response, or it is an automatic response for a person to break out in song, or to feel like singing when he is in a good mood, when he's joyous, feeling of good heart, and that's based on the Pasuk from Yeshayahu, that's quoted here in Rashi, and quoted in the Rabbeinu Gershom, Hinei avadai yaronu mituv lev. Because of their feelings and their joyousness and their good-heartedness, they feel like singing or they feel like breaking out in song. And so that's what it means over here. Tachar shlovata Hashem lokecha b'simcha v'tuv levav. Simcha v'tuv levav means b'shira. So now Gemara says, v'ema divrei Torah, who says that it's speaking about shira, maybe it's speaking about Torah, dichtiv, b'kudei Hashem yisharim, misam chelev. The commands of Hashem are straight, misam chelev. They make a person joyous. That is the source for the fact that we don't learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. It's also the source for the fact that an Avel does not learn Torah, because Torah has this association with misam chelev, that it makes people happy, it makes people joyous. If that's the case, then it would be the antithesis of Tisha B'Av, the antithesis of Avilut. That's why it would be inappropriate to learn Torah. But then it could be that Atahachar Asher Lo Avadta Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Levav. Maybe the Simcha we're speaking about here is Simcha Torah, where it says Misamchei Lev Yikre Tov Lo Yikre. Torah is called something that warms the heart, gladdens the heart, but it's not something that's called Tov. Now that's a very difficult statement. Does what already raises the fact, and you're aware of the psukim that say this, because we say, ki lekach tov, natati lechem, torati al tazovu. So clearly, Torah is called tov. So why is it that the Gemara is here saying is that Torah is only called misam chelev, it's not called tov? So Tosfot answers over here that it's not enough that you are misam chelev, and it's also not enough that you're called tov. But rather, it has to be something that is connected to the Simchat HaLev or Tov Levav. And so the Simcha and the Tov Levav, they have to be connected. And that is missing, or that is absent by the Torah. The Torah is both Tov, and it's also Misam Chelev, but it's not Tuv Levav. It's not something where the Simcha is associated with the Tuv Levav. That's only true with regards to Shira. That's not necessarily true with the Torah. And that's what it also says, Veshlamar, Dachanami Mishani, Debeinan Tov, Hasamuch Lelev. The Tov that is close to the heart, or that bursts forth from the heart, and therefore you need both Tov and Tuv Levav, but Tov and Tuv Levav that are associated together, not separately like you have by the case of the Torah. And he says the evidence to that is the next Gemara of the Bikurim, which says something similar, and the Rabbeinu Gershom himself brings them together and says that the answer of the Gemara by Bikurim is also the answer of the Gemara for Torah. Tosafot also answers that the possibility is that by Torah it's also true, it's just not written behedya, it's not written explicitly. So even though the word Tov can be interpreted to mean Torah, it's not explicitly connected or correlated to Torah. And in addition to that, the concept of Tuv Levav, Sam Chelev, that's associated with Tov, is not explicitly connected. And Tosafot does favor that explanation rather than the one that says that it's missing the direct correlation between Tov and Levav. Because otherwise, then what's the Gemara's next question, which it answers in that manner? And that is, why don't we say Ve'ema Bikurim? And Bikurim make the most sense over there, because Bikurim are the beginning of Parshat Ki Tavo, and the Tachar Ashilo Avater Hashem Elkecha B'Simcha B'Tuv Levav, that is almost a contrast to that which you're supposed to do with the Bikurim, which is supposed to be with the Bikurim, is Samachta B'Cholotov, that you have to then rejoice with all the goodness that Hashem has bestowed upon you. And so then it would make the most sense to say that that Pasuk is referencing back to the Bikurim. If Dev is Samachta B'Cholotov, Tov Ikre, Tov Levav, or Tuv Levav, Lo Ikre. It's called Tov, but it's not called Tov Levav. And so if you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom, he actually says that that is true both of Torah and the Bikurim. Neither of them, Lo Torah, Lo Bikurim, are called Tov or Tuv Levav. So that's the unique aspect of Shira, which is brought from that Pasuk that we saw in Yeshayahu, that it's not only Tov, but it's Tov Lev or Tov Levav. It gladdens the heart, or it's associated with the Simcha of the heart, not just Simcha, not just Tov, but Tov Levav or Tuv Levav. Amar Rav Natna, Minayin the Bikurim, Shitunim Shira. How do you know that Bikurim require Shira? So while we're on the topic already of the Bikurim, where it says, how do you even know that Bikurim requires Shira? Atya Tov Tov Mehacha. It's actually a Gzeira Shava from what we just learned. The Pasuk in the Tochacha says, Tachat lo asher lo avadta teshem lokecha b'simcha uvetuv levav. That's Tov there we just described to mean, to be a reference to Shira. And we just said by the Bikurim, it's a machta b'chola Tov. And that Tov, then, we're going to have a Gzeira Shava of sorts between the two of them to tell you that the Tov by the Bikurim is the same Tov that's mentioned by the Tochacha. And just like the Tov that's mentioned in the Tochacha is a reference to Shira, so to the Tov that's mentioned by the Bikurim is also a reference to Shira. And again, that would make a lot of sense based on the structure of Parshat Ki Tavo, that Bikurim in the beginning is associated with the Tuv Levav that's found at the end by the Tochacha. Now, what Shira they're looking for, Rashi makes the claim over here that this is based on the Mishnah in Bikurim. It says that when they brought the Bikurim up to the Mikdash, that the Leviim used to break out in song of Arim Hashem Kedili Tani. And that's based on the Mishnah in Paragimel, Mishnah Dalet in Bikurim. And Rashi says that's what the Gemara is looking for, the source for the fact that that Shira was said. The Balei Tosafot don't love that answer because they are perplexed by the way that the Gemara proceeds over here. The Gemara is about to ask a question on what we just said, and the Gemara never brings that Mishnah in Bikurim, either as a question or as even a statement that is associated with that which we're saying here. And for that reason, he believes that the Shira that we're speaking about here is a different Shira. The Shira that's described there in the Mishnah in Bikurim is basically just a pomp and circumstance. It is for the simcha aspect of it. It's not part of the avoda. It's not part of the requirements of the Bikurim. It's simply the celebratory environment or atmosphere that we're trying to create with the bringing of the Bikurim. And that's when that song is sung of Amim Hashem Kidilitani. But the statement of Rav Mat over here is a chiddush. And his chiddush is that there is an additional shira that needs to be said, and that's when the wave offering is done with the bikurim. When the Kohen and the Balim put their hands on the sal of the bikurim, and then they do a wave offering with it, there's actually a shira that accompanies that wave offering that they are doing, and that's the shira that's being referenced to over here, not the shira that Rashi mentions. The Gemara then says, is that really true, that there is a requirement of shira associated with bikurim? Because, Baha Amar Rab Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Rab Yonatan, Minayin Shein Omrim Shira El Alayayin. How do you know that shira is only associated with yayin and not with any other item? That's what, again, earlier we said, was the fact that the shira, when it comes to the Mikdash, was only said with the Nisuch HaYayin, because it was a requirement of yayin in order for there to be shira. Shenemar, but tomer lahem a gefen, the gefen in the mashal that is brought in the case of Gidon's children, Yotam, who's the one surviving son, who makes a mashal of all the different trees. And over there he says about Batom Lehem HaGefen, the Gefen says, Hechadalti et tiroshi hamesameach elukim va'anashim. Have I stopped to give forth my wine that provides simcha or causes rejoicing amongst God and men? Ina neshim mesameach elukim b'ma mesameach. I understand when it comes to man, that the wine is something that is imbibing, something that causes joy or celebration. So I can understand how it's misameach anashim. But how is it misameach elukim? What does wine have to do with elukim? Mikan, so the reason is, she'en omrim shira elala yayin, that the misameach elukim is because the association of shira together with yayin, that close association makes it that only ala yayin can you have shira, because that's the way it's misameach elokim. So now, if that's the case, then you have a seeming contradiction over here. Because Rav Matno says that the bikurim requires shira. And Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani says, well, you only have shira with yayin. And we know that the bikurim are brought up as perot, as pri, not as yayin. So then where's the yayin to be found over here with regards to the bikurim? So to that, the Gemara says, Kedetani Rabbi Yossi, like we have in the Braita of Rabbi Yossi, priyatamivi, viatamivi mashkim. You bring fruits up to the Mikdash, not liquids, not juices. Heviyamanim anavim vidarkan. He brings grapes and then he presses them. According to Rashi, he literally brought the grapes into the Azara and pressed them in the Azara itself. According to the Rabbeinu Gershom, he brought the Bikurim to Yerushalayim, pressed the grapes, and then took the wine into the Mikdash. But in either case, he didn't bring the fruit. He brought the wine, minayin. How do I know that's okay? Tamalomar, tavi. There's a riboy in the pasuk that even though the pasuk says, reshit priyadama, nevertheless, tavi is a riboy to tell you, even if it's not priyadama, you can still bring it. The truth is, that's only true with regards to yayin and shemen. Yayin and shemen, if they're brought as liquids or the produce of their perot, then they're still considered to be necessary to bring them up as bikurim, or right to bring them up as bikurim. That's not true of other fruits or other juices. Tosfot over here, as well as the Shita Mikubet said in the Rosh, deal with whether that's really only bidiavad, or is that the chatchila. And Tosfot seemingly leans in favor of saying that the situation here is the chatchila, that you could bring it as yayin and as shemen. But now we find yayin that is associated with the bikurim. Tosfot says, in order to explain Rashi's interpretation over here, that once we already established that there's shira on the yayin of the bikurim, then Chazal extended that to the other areas of the bikurim, or the other bikurim. That's what he says here. V'aydi detiknu aleihem shira, tiknu nami b'chol ha-bikurim shel zayin ha-minim. Once they established that there should be shira associated with the yayin, so too then they expanded it to the other shivat ha-minim, even though there's not always yayin that is brought along with the bikurim. The Rashbam in Arvei Pesachim also mentions this din with regards to Kiddush on Friday night. He says that Kiddush requires yayin because ain't shira el ala yayin. He views Kiddush as being associated with shira, and that shira needs to be associated with yayin, and that is the source for the opinions that believe that one must have an intoxicating beverage to make Kiddush on. That grape juice is problematic. not necessarily because of the grape juice itself, which is a separate issue, machloket in the Rishonim, so whether grape juice is okay, but a separate issue of the need for sheikhar, the need for it to be mishaker or misameach lev, because if you think like the Rashbam, that Kiddush is considered a classified as shira, it's requiring to be ala yayin, and the yayin that we're speaking about here is the yayin that's misameach lev anashim. It's the wine that is intoxicating. That might be the source for the fact, or the source for those positions, or those people that believe that it's better or preferable to make Kiddush ala yayin, yayin that is alcoholic, and not just yayin that is classified as yayin like grape juice. Okay, now the Gemara is going to continue with other possibilities as to how we know that there is Ikar Shira Min HaTorah. Chizkiya Amar Mehocha. Chizkiya says it's from here. Uchnanyahu Sar HaLevi'im Bimasa Yasur Bamasa Ki Mevinu. So the translation of that was that Chnanyahu was the head or the ministering Levi with regards to Masa, which you can interpret Masa to be carrying. Or Masah can also be, Rashi says over here, Nisiat Kol, means the carrying on of one's voice or the singing, which would then make him the ministering Levi with regards to the song, Yasor B'Masah. He was given over to, or a master of the song or the carrying, Ki Mevinu, because he was someone who was very competent or very skillful in this area. So if you translate the word Masah over here not to mean carrying, but rather like Rashi, that it means Nisiat Kol, to carry on one's voice, and the Gemara reinforces that by seeing over here, Altikra Yasor, that he was given over to, or a master of this matter, Ella Yashir, that he was a singer, and then that would only serve to reinforce the idea that the Masah here is not carrying, but rather singing or Nisiat Kol. Then you have a source here for the fact that the Levi'im were associated with the Shira, and the Psukim over there say, Veham Mishoririm, those that are the singers, were the following families, and then it speaks about this Chananyahu, who was the head of those singers. So again, there would be implications that the Levi'im were engaged in Shira. And as Tosafot points out over here, it says explicitly, as we noted before, that they were Mishorerim over here. So what is the Gemara after? And this is what we spoke about in the beginning, that they're trying to associate that with the Avodat HaLevi'im. And therefore, by creating this Al-Tikri, we're now associating Masah, which is a clear avodah of the Levi'im, with Shira. And so the interconnection between those two shows you that there's real avodah of singing that is the same as the avodat Masah. And that's what the Gemara is trying to do over here. And we'll see that subsequently when the Gemara also brings Psukim, that make it that a Zar is Chayav Mitah for engaging in such activity, which also implies that it's a real form of avodah. And that's what the Gemara is trying to figure out or prove over here. Bavati, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Bavati, Rashi says the name of a Chacham, and the name of Rabbi Yochanan says, Mehacha. La'avod, avodat, avodah. To do the work of the work. Ezo avodah, shetzricha avodah. What is work that requires work? Ari Omer, zeu shira. That's a reference to the shira. Rashi brings one explanation. The Rabbeinu Gershom actually brings another explanation and Rashi's explanation. So we'll see in the Rabbeinu Gershom that he says, first of all, shelevim omrim bepeh, Bacharim uvdim lahem b'klei shir umisayim lahem. What's an avoda that needs another avoda? The avoda is the shira of the Levi'im. That's accompanied by another avoda, which is other people who are enhancing, are helping the Levi'im. And that is the instrumentals that go along, or the musicians that come to play the music along with the Levi'im. That's what the reference is. What's the work that they do, which is avodat avodah? It's an avodah that requires other accompaniment with it. That's the first way the Rabbeinu Gershom explains it. Then he brings Vika Damri, which is actually the way Rashi explains it. Sutzrichim avodah, deinu mishim shira, ela b'shat avodah. What is avodah avodah? Meaning shira is an avodah that's at a time when there's another avodah taking place. And that's an accompaniment to another avodah. It's not a standalone avodah. And the only avodah that the Levi'im have that's associated with another avodah is there shira at the time of the avodah? Yisavar mehacha, zuuzimra tenu tov kinor naim im naval. So again, the word zuuzimra, take up a song. So that's evidence of what Rashi said before, that the nisiyot is nisiyat kol, which is zuuzimra, carry on a song, and that is associated with the tov kinor and the naval, which are the instruments that the Levi'im use. So you see that there is an accompaniment. This pasuk that we find in the Tehillim Pe'alot that we read, the Yom Shel Yom Chamishi, that we see over there, so Zimrat Tunof Kinor Naim Navel, that teaches you that there is a correlation between the musical instruments that the Levium we know played and the Zimra, or Su Zimra, the song that they are engaged in.
He says it's from here. Hema Isu Kolam Yaronu
Bigona Shem Tsalu Miyam. And so the translation of that is that they will again lift up their voices. They shall Yaronu sing, because the greatness, the majesty of Hashem, which is associated with the Migdash, they shall call out more than that they said Miyam, that they did at the sea, and as Rashi says, more than they did at Kriyat Yamsuf. And that is that Itzalu Bishir Beit HaMikdash. They will call out and they will shout out the songs of the Mikdash in greater sound and abundance than that which was called out, or the Shirah of the Yamsuf. So again, here you see a Shirah that's associated with the Mikdash, which we are assuming is the Shirah of the Leviim. And the subsequent Pasuk, which is Darshan by Chazal in other places, I mean, Knaf Aretz, Zmirot, Shamanu, Tzvi Letzadig, so that the song will emanate from the land because of the salvation or the great miracles that Hashem has performed. And so the association with the previous Pasuk is that that song that we will hear, the song of the Beit HaMikdash, will be greater than the song of Kriyat Yam Suf.
Tana Maiti Lamahocha, we have a brayta that brings it from here. Livnei Kahat Lo Natan Ki Avodat HaKodesh Alem B'Katef Isau. This is a reference to the end of Parshat Nassau, where the Nesi'im give the agalot for the Levi'im to use in their avodah. Over there it says that the agalot were divided between Gershon and Merari, but they were not given to Kahat. That's because Kahat is Aleim B'Katef Isau. Their work or their carrying is done by hand, by the shoulder, and they then carry the burden on their shoulders. Where it says, Mimash Shenemar B'Katef, once you tell me already, Kevodat HaKodesh Aleim B'Katef, had you just ended the pasuk there, I would have known in Yudeo Shiesu. Wouldn't I know that's what katef means? Katef means putting it on your shoulder to carry it. So why do you have to tell me Yisau? Matal Malomer Yisau, and Yisau El Lashon Shira. So again, this idea that Nisiyut, to rise or to elevate oneself, is associated with Shira. And the extraneous word of Yisau over here is an indication of the avodah placed upon the Levim, which not only includes the hauling of the Mishkan and the carrying of the Mishkan, but also the singing in the Mishkan that's associated with the Korbanot. And I can prove to you that the word Yisau is associated with song, that is in the pasuk that we just brought before. Su Zimra Utnu Tof Ve'omer. And it also says Isu Kulam Yaronu. So those are the two psukim that we brought before to show that the Levi'im were involved in Shira. And both of them use the word Isu in the context of Shira, or in the context of music. So then we put those psukim over here to tell us that the word Yisau, that is extraneous in the Torah, is also a reference to Shira Talavim. Hananya ben Achi, Rabbi Yoshua Amar Mihacha, he says the source for this Shira is from here, Moshe Yedaber, Ve'elukim Yanenu Bikol. This is by Har Sinai, right before the Aseret Dibrot in Parshat Yitro. It says there, Moshe Yedaber, Moshe spoke, Ve'elukim Yanenu Bikol, and God then responded to him in a voice. The Gemara says, Aliske Kol. What is Moshe Yedaber? Ve'elukim Yanenu Bikol. What is Yanenu Bikol? About the issues of Kol. Rashi says over here, Shaya Mitzaveu L'Shorer, B'tish Moshe Levi Haya. Moshe was a Levi, and Hashem's instructing him, telling him, commanding him, that he has to participate in the Shira, in the Mishkan, because he's a Mishorer. He's one of the singers of the Levi'im. Rashi takes it very literally that God is Mitzavehim. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Gershom sees it as a result of the that which is taking place over here. B'sha Shaya Moshe Mishorer Shehu Levi Halukim Yanenu Lo Bikol. When Moshe was singing, then God answered him Bikol. So Moshe Yedaber Halukim Yanenu Bikol was that there was some sort of sing-song that was going on between Moshe and Hashem, or that's what precipitates the response from Hashem, is the singing of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav Ashi Amar Mihacha, Rav Ashi says from this pasuk in Divrei Yamim, Vahi ke'echad le'michatzatzrim u'le'mishorerim tashmi'a kol echad. It was simultaneously that the michatzatzrim, the blowers of the chatzotzrot, and the mishorerim, the singers, they lashmi'a kol echad. They all at once made a single sound or a single voice together, The pasuk previous to that in Divrei Yomim speaks about the fact that the Kohanim were the Mechatzitzrim. They're the ones that are blowing into the trumpets. And the Levi'im are the Mishorerim. So then this pasuk that brings them together and says, Lashmi'a kol echad, makes it sound like there is some sort of joint exercise that happens together. And we know with regards to the Chatzutzrot, based on the pasuk in Balotcha, Tosva quotes over here, Utukatim bechatzutzrot alolutechem. So it says over there that you blow the trumpets when you bring your korbanot. So just like you blow the trumpets at the time you bring the korbanot, so too the Shira Leviim, which is associated here with the chatzutzrot, would happen at the same time with together with the korbanot. Rabbi Yonatan Amar Mihacha, Velo Yamutu Gamheim Gamatem. You should make sure that the Leviim and the Kohanim do their work, and that they guard the Mishkan and the Kedushat the Mishkan, in order that v'lo yamutu, gamhem, gamatem, both them and you should not be killed by this. Matem v'avudat mizbeach, just like when it's a reference to you, you means that if you take over what the Kohanim are doing, this is the end of Parshat Korach, this week's Parsha, that the rebellion of Korach leads Hashem afterwards to explain what is the purview of the Kohanim. And people who breach and enter into the area or the purview of the Kohanim are going to be subject to mitah. And so it says over here, just like you, the Levim, are restricted from the Avodat Mizbeach, which is the purview of the Kohanim, Avheim Avodat Mizbeach, so too, they cannot interfere or cannot enter into the purview of the Levim by the Avodat Mizbeach. So what that shows you is that the Kohanim have an Avodah associated with the Mizbeach, and Levim have an avodah associated with the Mizbeach. The Kohanim, we know what avodah they do with Mizbeach. They're the ones who process the Korban. With regards to Levim, the avodah that they do is the Shira. And what the Pasuk is telling you is that you cannot cross over. Either Kohanim or Levim that breach their duty and then go do that which the other one is instructed to do, they're Chayav Mitah. So if a Levi breaches the area of the Kohanim, goes and does the Korban or processing the Korban, is Chayav Mitah. And vice versa, a Kohen that goes and does the avodah of the Levi, which is the Shira, he's also Chayav Mita. Then the Gemara makes a diuk out of this based on the Braita. Tani Nami Ochi, we have a Braita. Lo Yamutu Gamhem Gamatem, Atem Bishelahem, Behem Shvelahem. They in your stuff, and you in their stuff, Bimita, are both subject to a death penalty. Heim Bishelahem, Einan Bimita, Elabazara. They in their own things are not chayav mitah, they're only chayav azhara, they're only chayav aylav. The simple way to read this is that Kohanim that do the work of the Levim, Levim that do the work of the Kohanim are chayav mitah, Levim that do work of the Levim are not chayav mitah, they're only alav. That's a veiled reference to the fact that the Levim are divided up into mishoarim, those that deal with the gates, opening and closing and guarding of the gates, and mishorerim, those that sing. And if you're from a family of the singers, you can't work with the gates. And if you're a family of the gatekeepers, you can't be someone who sings. You're not allowed to go, you're not allowed to usurp the power or the job of the other Levi'im. And the Breita is telling you, or the Diyuk of the Breita is that there's only an Iser Lav associated with that. There's no Iser Mita associated with that. That's because only you acting like a Kohen or Kohen acting like a Levi is subject to Mita. But a Levi acting like another Levi is not subject to Mita. It's only subject to a Lav. There are those that want to say the same thing by the Kohanim, that a Kohen who usurps or takes over the job of another Kohen also would be in violation of the Azara, not in violation of a Chiyuv Mita. Over there, it's much more precarious to say that because the jobs of the Kohanim were signed on a daily basis based on the Goralot. It's not something that's a permanent job. There's the Levi'im who are permanently assigned either to the job of the Mishoar or the Mishorer, and therefore it would make more sense that if they violated that, they'd be an Isur Lav. Rashi just makes the comment, because I don't know what lav they're speaking about. I don't know where it comes from. I know where you're speaking about the Chiyuv Mita here. I know where that comes from. I just don't know where this lav comes from. The Vayetosva quote from the Rabbeinu Menachem that it comes from the pasuk in Parashat Balotcha, Lishmor Mishmeret V'Avodah Lo Yavod, that the job of the Levim is to guard and not to do the Avodah, meaning that there are certain Levim that only do Mishmeret and don't do the Avodah. The Avodah is the Shira. The Mishmeret is the guarding. So he says that's the source for this love. Amar Abaye, Naktinan Mishorer Shishier Bishol Chaviro B'mita. That someone who is a Mishorer, a singer, shishier, and instead work the gates, b'shel chaviro, in his friend's stead, b'mita, his chayav mita, shenemar, v'chunim lifnei mishkan kedma, lifnei ol moed, says those that are encamped on the eastern side of the mishkan, in front of the ol moed. Then it says, v'azara karev, yumat. Any foreigner who enters into that area is chayav mita. Maizar, who is the foreigner that we're speaking about here? Ilay mazar mamash, if you're talking about a zar like a Yisrael, haktiv chadazimna. In that same parsha, it already tells you that a zar karev yumat. So why is it repeated again? Elalav zar de oto avoda. It's someone who's a foreigner to that avoda. It means that's a reference to the Levi'im, who are mishoarim. They are gatekeepers, that if they go in to do the avoda that is associated with the zar karev yumat, meaning the korban, that they'll be subject to a chiyuv mita, just like a zar who enters into the avoda of the kohanim would also be chayav mita. Now, obviously, Abaye does not subscribe to the Braita, because the Braita clearly says that it is a lav, and we're going to see upcoming in the Gemara that it's actually a machloket tanaim. Meitave, mishorer shishier, umishuar shishorer, inam b'mita lebazhara. That's exactly what we saw in the Braita before, not like Abaye, that someone who is a singer that does the gatekeeping work, or the gatekeeper that does the singing, doesn't get a punishment of mitah, but he is subject to an azara, a violation of a law. Where it says, Tenayehi, it's a machloket tanaim, detanya. We have a braita, maase b'Rabbi Yoshua bar Chananya. Rabbi Yoshua bar Chananya is in that transition generation post the Churban. They are talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. They lived through the Churban and then into Kerem B'Yavna afterwards. And seemingly they served in the Mikdash. So there was an incident with Rabbi Yeshua bar Chananya, shalach l'sayeya b'kafat taltot, it's a Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgoda. He went to help Rabbi Yochanan ben Goda do his job in closing the gates of the Mikdash or of Harabayit. Amarlo b'ni, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgoda says to Rabbi Yeshua bar Chananya, chazur l'achorecha, back off, sh'ata min ha-mishoririm, you're a singer, v'lo min ha-mishoririm, and not a gatekeeper. My love, b'hai kamiflege. Let us say this is the machloket between them. It seems that Rabbi Yeshua bar Chananya thought it was totally fine for him to help out, whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgoda thought it was not appropriate. They're both Levi'im over here, and why do they have a disagreement as whether he's allowed to help out or not? The ma'asavar mitahi, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgoda says that if you do the work or the gatekeeping, if you're a singer, then you're subject to a chiyuv mitah. That's only if you do it alone. Gazru barabonon. So the Rabbanim goes there when you're only helping out. When you help out, it's not a problem. So over here, he was helping Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgoda. So in and of itself, it wasn't a problem. But we're choshesh for the fact that if we let you help out, then you actually go do the job. And that's a serious violation, because if you do the job, you're going to be chayav mita. So the assumption is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgoda believes that you're chayav mita if you switch those jobs or the job that you are assigned to. And therefore, the Chachamim goes there that you can't help out in these cases. On the other hand, Mar Savar Azarahi, Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya believes that it was just an Isur Lav, below Gazru Rabbanon. And therefore the Rabbanon did not put an institute a problem of being Misayaya. If he's Misayaya, at worst, if he actually does it himself, it'll only be an Isur Lav. It's not an Isur Mitah. So they were not Gozer by Misayaya. The Gemara says, lo, the Kuleyama Azarahi. Everybody holds that it's an Azara. Mar Savar Misayaya Gazru Bei Rabbanon, Mar Savar Lo Gazru Bei Rabbanon. And the machloket is, when it's an Azara, where the Chachamim goes there, that you can't help out, or is it only a problem, which is the problem Midoraita, of doing it yourself, but helping out is not a problem. So the machloket is where there was such a Gzera de Rabbanan in place. And then again, Abai is going to explain it the other way around, where he's going to say that that's the machloket is about whether it was an Azara or Mitah, because he needs a Tana to also say that it's a Chiyuv Mitah, in order for him to argue on the Braita we saw above, as well as the conclusion of the Gemara over here, that there's only an Azharat Lav over here. By Rabbi Yavin. Rabbi Yavin asked, Olat Nidvat Tzipur. When it comes to the Ola of a voluntary offering of the Tzibur, Tuna Shira, Oino Tuna Shira. Does that require Shira, or does that not require Shira? So Tosfot already says, Aval Yediachid, Afilu Chovoto, Oino Tuna Nisachim. It comes, Eino Tuna Shira, clear that the Korban of a Yachid does not require Shira, and that is because the Psukim that are found in Parshat Belotcha are written about the Korbanot HaTzibur, and therefore it's only Korbanot HaTzibur that requires Shira, not Korbanot of the Yachid. The question is, within the Korbanot HaTzibur, is that limited to korbanot, like the korban ha-tamid, obligatory offerings. What about if there are voluntary offerings? As Rashi says over here, that eulat nidvat zibur is keitz mizbeach, or keitz mizbeach. The extra korbanot olot that are brought during the mizbeach is batel, or the monies that are taken from the motar hasham, the motar chatat that are brought as olot. That's what we're referring to over here. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Gershom says the reference here is to eulat nidvat zibur, shenaselem neis. A miracle happened to a large part of Klal Yisrael. Ve'nit nadvu lavi ola. And then they committed or donated an ola to the Mikdash to be brought together. According to the Rabbeinu Gershom, the nature of the question is it only true that a Korban HaTzibur, which is brought by corporate entity Klal Yisrael, that is what requires Shira? Or is it true that any group Korban that involves all the individuals of Klal Yisrael, that requires Shira? Or according to Rashi, the Baal Tosafot, the real question revolves around whether this is a Chovat HaTzibur or Nidvat HaTzibur. Do you say Shira on Nidvat HaTzibur? Where it says, Olotechem Amar Rechmana. The Torah says, by the Parshat Balotcha Utatrem Mechatzutrot, Al Olotechem, Achat Olat Chova, Achat Olat Nidava. Olotechem, in plural, makes it sound like it applies to all Olot. Any ola, whether it's an ola chuva or ola nedava, odema, olotechem de kulu Yisrael kamar rachmana. Or does olotechem not mean any type of ola? It means olotechem, the ola that's associated with all of Klal Yisrael. Dashma. We'll bring a proof from the pasuk in Divrei Yamim. Vayomer Chizkiyahu la'alot ha'ola, that he says that you should bring up the ola lehamizbeach. Ube'et chechel ha'ola, chechel shir Hashem v'chatzutrot al yedei klei David melech Yisrael. So that the time they brought the olot, they began to sing the song of Hashem and the chatzutrot with the musical instruments of David melech Yisrael. Hai shira, ma'evita, this song or this shira, what exactly was the nature of this song? Ilema dolat chova, if it was olat chova, lama lidem luche, then why did Chizkiyahu HaMelech have to ask the question? El alav dolat nedava. It must have been an olat nedava. So Rashi explains over here, when it says, Vayomer Chizkiyahu, mashma shaya nimlach. Makes it sound like Chizkiyahu HaMelech was inquiring of the chachamim of the time as to what to do in this situation. And he says, Vayomer Chizkiyahu, lolo ta'ola la mizbeach. And the answer is to him, Ube'et Chechel Olah. That's what Beit Din answers him. So in that sense, you have a conversation between Chizkiyahu and the Chachamim, and the Chachamim are answering Chizkiyahu HaMelech. But then why did Chizkiyahu HaMelech have to ask a question? If it's about singing Shira on the Korban Tamid, that's something that everybody knows. That's not a question, so why would he have to ask the Chachamim? The fact that he's asking the Chachamim indicates that it's speaking about an Olat HaTzibur, that's not your standard Olat HaTzibur. Or in essence, it was an Olat Nedava. From here, it sounds like you would sing Shira on the Olat Nidava. That's the way that Rashi explains it. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Gershom reads it as that the query was of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. It says there, Lamali Imluche b'Chizkiyahu. Why did they have to ask the question of Chizkiyahu HaMelech? Which means that when it says Vayomer Chizkiyahu, Chizkiyahu is responding to a query that was brought to him about what you should do in this case. And he's the one answering. He's not the one that is bringing the question. That's the way the Rabbeinu Gershom views it. In either case, the fact that they were inquiring of Chizkiyahu or Chizkiyahu was inquiring of the Chachamim shows you it has to be a more unusual case. And the Gemara's suggestion is that we're speaking about an Olat Nidvat Zibur, and they're asking whether there had to be Shira over it, and the answer was affirmative, that it does require Shira. Where it says, Amar Rav Yosef lo Olat Rosh Chodesh Haba. It was actually the Olah of Rosh Chodesh, becoming Bailu. And they wanted to know, Mihu kvar Rosh Chodesh bizmano, dili karev, olo. Was Rosh Chodesh done at the right time? Was it Rosh Chodesh today, and therefore they should bring the Korban? Or maybe they shouldn't bring the Korban, or maybe they shouldn't sing the Shira. Rav Yosef says, it was Olat Rosh Chodesh, the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh. And the question was Rosh Chodesh done properly in the proper time, that they should be singing Shira associated with that Korban that's with the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh. But then it's not meaningful to our question because then we're dealing with the Korban Chuva, which clearly has Shira associated with it. Amar Le Abaye, Umim Atzit Amrat Hochi. How can you say that? V'aktiv, in the Psukim over there that's speaking about what they did, it says, B'yom Shishas Chodesh Arishon, the 16th day of the first month, meaning Nisan, And they're bringing the Olah. Well, what do you mean you're talking about Rosh Chodesh? It's the 16th of Nisan, so how could you be speaking about the Olat Musaf of Rosh Chodesh? Elo Amar Rami Brei the Rav Yeva Keves Habayim Omer. Gomi Bailo. The question was about the Keves that's brought along with the Korban HaOmer on the 16th of Nisan. Mi Kava Rosh Chodesh Bizmano Dili Karev Olo. Was Rosh Chodesh in the proper time? So that the 16th is the 16th, and therefore we should bring the Korban and sing the Shira with it. Because it is a Korban Chuva, and again, it doesn't relate to our question. Matki Vlar of Avyo Velechze. Wait a minute. Why don't they ask about Pesach Echeovit? How do they do Pesach on the 14th? And Matzah Echeochil? How do they eat Matzah on the 15th? If on the 16th they're still uncertain as to whether the 16th is really the 16th, what do they do on the 14th and the 15th? Why are they asking about the Omer? They should be asking about Matzah. They should be asking about Korban Pesach. This doesn't make any sense. El Omer of Ashi, Midah Hava, Shliach Tzibura, Demamlich. It was a formality. It was etiquette. It was not a real halachic question. Meaning that Chizkiyahu HaMelech, according to Rashi, was inquiring, or those that inquired of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, they were asking even though they knew the answer. We have that idea with regards to the Chacham, where you have to take your knife over to the Chacham to check it before you do Shechita or get permission from him to do Shechita. Even though you're totally capable and qualified, you still do it out of etiquette or out of formality that you seek permission from the Chacham, even though you technically don't need his permission and you're capable of doing it without his permission. Similarly, a Shliach Tzibur, even though he's been appointed to be the Shliach Tzibur, or everybody knows he's the Shliach Tzibur, he still nevertheless asks permission to go up. That's proper etiquette. That's proper formality. And similarly over here, this is not a real halachic question. It's just a formality to ask before they began to sing the Shira, whether it was appropriate to sing the Shira in this case or not. So the fact that they were inquiring was not because it was a safek as to whether it was Rosh Chodesh or not Rosh Chodesh. They were just asking permission to bring the Korban that's associated with the Omer. And they were asking permission to sing the Shira, whether they should sing the Shira, not because there was any doubt that they should, but again, it was etiquette, it was formality to ask beforehand. Hashtod ati dohochi, now that you reach this point, afilu teim olat chuva, then you could also say that the case here is an olat chuva, like the korban atamid, midedahava shliach tzibur ademamlich, like we explained, that the permission being sought over here is not a Shiloh, it's not a halachic question, it's simply good manners, good etiquette, proper formality. Tashma, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mirgagalim Schut Biyom Zakai, Bechuva Layom Chayav. When we know something is meritorious, we place other merits on top of it. And when we know that something is problematic, we add other problematic things to it. So that is the concept that is associated with Tisha B'Av. And therefore, many things that happen, or many bad things that happen close to the time of Tisha B'Av, we assign it to, or we associate it with Tisha B'Av, as the Gemara Tanit explains, just like the Chet HaMeraglim took place on Tisha B'Av, and Hashem says, Atem v'chitem b'chiyah shelchinam, afani kovei lechem b'chiyah ledorot, and therefore the Korban Bayit Rishon took place on Tisha B'Av, just like the Chet HaMeraglim, and so too, the Korban Bayit HaShini is assumed to have happened on Tisha B'Av, just like the Korban Bayit Rishon, because migalim chova liyom chayav. Rashi says over here, the meritorious side of the positive statement is, just like in the past we were redeemed in Nisan, so too, atidim ligael b'Nisan, so too in the future we're going to be redeemed in Nisan, because if we were redeemed from Egypt in Nisan, so too the gula latida will also happen in Nisan. Now, this braita that's brought by Rabbi Yossi in the Gemara in Ta'anit says, Megalim zchut yom zechai v'chovah yom chayav. Amru, kishacharav b'yit b'rishona. In the first Beit HaMikdash, when it was destroyed, Oto Hayom Tisha B'Av Haya. That was the day of Tisha B'Av. Motzei Shabbat Haya. It was a Sunday. Motzei Shvi'it Haita. It was also the eighth year of the cycle. It was right after a Shvi'it. Mishmarto Shel Yoriav Haita. And it was the Mishmeret of Yoriav, the Kohanim. That family was their Mishmar. Vayu Kohanim Velevim Omdim Al Duchanam Veomrim Shira. And the Kohanim and Levim were standing on the Duchan saying their Shira. Ma Shira Amru. What exactly was the Shira that they were saying? That he brought retribution, their sins upon them, and they were closed in or cut off by their evil ways. They didn't get the chance to say that then Hashem should take retribution on them, meaning the enemies, but till the time that the enemies entered in the Mikdash and captured them. And similarly, in the Bayit HaSheni, during the Churban, all of these things were true. And that is the idea of Megalgalim Chuval Yom Chayav. The idea of that being that if this is when it happened in the first Bayit, it happened in the second Bayit. In tomorrow's daf, we're going to spend time the calculations of all the things that are mentioned in this Brayta. But for right now, the Gemara asks, Hai Shira Mayavite. Why were they singing that Shira in the Mikdash? Ilei Madolat Chova. If it was for the Korban Tamid, or the Olat Chova that was brought in the Mikdash, Mi'avai. Since when was an Olat Chova on that day? Yudzayim B'Tamuz, Batel HaTamid. Because the Tamid was stopped being brought already on the 17th of Tamuz. Machloket Bavli and Yushalmi as to whether that happened in the Bayit Rishon or Bayit Sheni. But from our Gemara over here, it seems like it's talking about or speaking about the Bayit Rishon. And since the Tamid was already stopped because there was a lack of animals in Yerushalayim by Yudzayim B'Tamuz, clearly by the time Tisha B'Av rolls around, they're not singing Shira over a Korban Tamid because it hasn't been brought already for 3 weeks. Elolav Dolat Nedava must have been a voluntary offering that was brought as an Olan Mikdash. And that's what they were singing Shira on. It says V'tizbara. Is that really logical? Maishna Dolat Chova Dolo Havai. What was the reason they weren't bringing the Korban Tamid? Is because there were no animals. Umaishna Dolat Nedava Davai. Why all of a sudden for a voluntary offering did they have an animal available? It says Alokasha. That's not a problem. Ben Bakar Ekrai Ba'almahu Ditramiluhu. They came across a calf or a cow which can be brought as an Olah, but it's not kasher for the Korban Tamid. The Korban Tamid comes from a keves. And Ben Bakar, even though it's one of the animals that can be brought as an Olah, it's not qualified to be the Korban Tamid. So they happened upon one animal, one leftover animal that they were going to bring as a Korban. It wasn't Roi for the Korban Tamid, so they brought it as a Korban Olat HaTzibur. So Amarova, V'item Ravashi, V'tizbira. Does what you're saying make sense? That was an Olat Nidvat Tzibur, and they were singing the Shira of the day associated with this Olat Nidvat HaTzibur. And as Tosfos points out, that if you're going to sing Shira on the Olat Nidvat Tzibur, the only appropriate Shira to sing on it is the Shira of that day. So you would repeat, or you'd have the same Shira that you said on the Korban HaTamid, you would repeat on the Olat Nidvat Tzibur. Does that make sense? Shir de Yomei, the Shir Shel Yom of Sunday, Motzei Shabbat, was when it happened, is Lashem Haaretz Umloa. It's the David Mizmor, which we say every Sunday as the Shir Shel Hayom. The Shir that we were quoting before was the Kel Nekamot Hashem Konukot Ofia Yeshev Aleim Et Onam B'Shir De'arba Abish Shabbatu, which is the Shir Shel Hayom for Yom Revi'i, not for Sunday. So why were they singing the song of Wednesday on Sunday? Ela Elaya Ba'almahu D'Nafalu B'Mayu. Rashi says over here, Elaya means a kina. It was an elegy that fell into their mouths that they were saying. Whether that was a purposeful elegy or simply a mistake or a slip of the tongue that Hashem put into their mouths because of what was taking place around them. It's almost like a mini nivu'ah or ruach hakodesh that they end up singing the wrong song for the day, but the song that was correct or appropriate for the moment. As the Ri says in the Balei Tosafot in Tanit, V'omeri, Dafagav Deino to Pasuk, Klal B'Mizmor Shir Shel Motzei Shabbat. I mean, this Pasuk has nothing to do with the Shir Shel Yom of Yom Rishon. Ir Lehem Kach, Shamru Oto Pasuk. It happened to be, or they, by chance, said that Pasuk. As Rabbeinu Gershom says, Kina Nizdamna B'Pihem, an elegy came or fell into their mouths at the time. So it's clear here that the Shira they're singing is not really associated with the Korban because they have the Shira of the wrong day. And so what we're saying here is that it was simply a slip of the tongue or it was an elegy that they were saying but not associated with any Korban. Where it says, how can you say that? It doesn't simply say they were singing. It says they were standing on the Dukhan, which is the place where they stand in order to do the Avodah when they're singing associated with a Korban. Kedereish Lakish Tamar Omer Shlora Korban. That the Levian, when they feel like it, can sing Shira on the Dukhan, not associated with any particular Korban. It says, Yochei, Baulat Nedava, Nami, Lema. So if that's the case, that the Levian can engage in Shira whenever they feel like it, then why are you asking me whether they can sing Shira on the Olat Nedava? If they want to sing, let them sing. Why can't they do it with the Olat Nedava? Because the Mar says, no, that's problematic, because Nafik Mimei Churva. Because it could lead to very bad results. And that is that when they go and sing voluntarily on the Dukhan, it makes it sound like it is a reshut. It's an optional item that they are doing. If we allow them to sing voluntarily over the Olat Nidava, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, makes it look like when you bring a Korban, it's optional to sing on the Korban or not sing on the Korban. And the Chuvah that will be a result of that is that then when it comes to Olot Chuvot, they're going to do the same thing or say the same thing, that it's optional, and they're not going to realize that there's a difference between Olat Nidvat Zibur, where the singing is not associated with the Korban, but the singing that Levim can do at any time, versus by an Olat Chuvah, where there's an obligation to sing. So there will be a Chuvah that comes out of this. Or the way that the Rabbeinu Gershom explains it, is that people actually think that it's an obligation to sing the Shira al Olat Nidvat Zibur, and then they're not going to bring it because they can't get the Shir together, or it's too much work to put the Shir together, and then they're going to desist from bringing the Olat Nidvat Zibur, and that's the Chuvah that will derive from this. And afterwards he brings Vigad Amre, an explanation that is parallel to what Rashi said before, that the Chuvah is with regards to the Olat Chuvah, and not with regards to the Olat Nidvat. My Rabbi Allah. So what's the conclusion over here? What's the psak with regards to Olat Nidvat Zibur? Tashma, the Tani Rav Mari braid the Rav Kahana, alolotechem v'alzibchei shamechem. Says that you'll blow the trumpets over your olot and your shlamim. Ma ola kodesh kodeshim, like an ola, which is always kodesh kodeshim, av shlamim kodesh kodeshim. So too, the only shlamim you blow the chatzotrot over is a shlamim that's kodeshei kodeshim. The only shlamim that are kodeshei kodeshim are shalmei tzibur, and there are only one form of shalmei tzibur, which are the kibsei atzeret that are brought on Shavuot. So that's the reference in the pasuk. That's the only shlamim you blow the chatzotrot over, a sing shira over, are the shalmei tzibur, just like the olot are kodesh kodeshim. So too, the shlamim has to be kodesh kodeshim. Ma shlamim kavulahem zman, just like the shlamim, the only shalmei tzibur are those that are brought the kibsei atzeret on Shavuot, which are chovot hayom, or in a chovah, a fixed time. So too, afola kavula zman. So too, an ola that has a fixed time to it, that requires shira, or that has shira associated with it. But an olat nidvat sibur, which comes at any time, is not a chovat hayom, or a chovat hazman at all. Therefore, it will not require, it will not have the chatzotrot, and not have shira associated with it. Okay, we're going to stop here on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Bet.